Good morning, church. I'd like to add my welcome to those that you've already received. Certainly want to welcome the youth group back safe and sound from what I understand was an incredible mission trip to Nashville. I want to thank Justin for spearheading that. I know that on the mission trips I went to, I was spiritually enriched, and so I hope that y'all shared the same type of experience that I had when I was growing up. Thanks to people like Justin for making those things happen. Good to be with you this morning. For those visiting, I'm not Russell, the normal preaching minister. I'm pinch hitting for him today, and like most pinch hitters, are y'all getting feedback? Am I really loud? Do I need to tone it down? Because what I was told when I told my kids that I was preaching today was, make sure that you have the same type of enthusiasm that Mr. Russell has. Anyways, a pinch hitter, I can swing a bat, but I may not always hit the ball. So we'll see where this goes. Just before I came up, our daughter Britton said, there is a lot of people here. More than I've ever seen. Don't mess up. I told her if it really starts going south, yell fire and we can disperse. Anyway, let's go ahead and stand out of respect and read today's passage. It's relatively short here. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Father, we pray for this time together this morning. We thank you for our time together, because you're the reason that we're here. We pray that your Spirit will move, speak through me, and that you'll be able to transform our lives through the word that you've given us today. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. I got to admit, whenever some of you read that verse up there, it seemed like I saw a few small fist pumps when you saw what it was. There's some people today that really think kids need to hear this today. They need to take it to heart because of so many things that are happening. And in fact, while preparing, I found this quote. And it says, children, they now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in place of exercise. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents and they tyrannize their teachers. And although many of you may think that this quote applies to today's youth, it was actually written in 1907 about many of your grandparents and great-grandparents. Bet you didn't know they were such rebel-rousers. But this commandment that Moses gives Israel is just as applicable today as it was when Moses gave it so many thousands of years ago. What's funny is whenever I told my kids I was going to be preaching the commandment that I was going to be doing it on honoring your parents, Harris, our 10-year-old, said, I don't want you to teach on that. Setting his sentiments aside, I do want to first speak to the youth about this commandment. So the rest of you can take a little break, obey the fourth commandment, rest for a minute, but I'll get to you in just a little bit. As you know, the last few Sundays we've been working through the Ten Commandments. Last Sunday, Russell spoke on remembering the Sabbath, on giving ourselves permission to rest, and finding that rest in God. And what you may have noticed as we've been working through the Ten Commandments is that the first four really deal with our relationship with God. No other gods before me. Don't make or serve any other idols. Don't take his name in vain, and remember the Sabbath. So now we transition to a section of the commands, basically the second tablet, that really focus on our relationships with each other and how we live these things out in community. And just as the first command, don't have any other gods before me, serves as the foundation upon which all the commands can rely, This fifth command of honoring your parents really serves as a foundation for the rest of the commands. And the way that the commands are laid out show that you can't be right with others until you're truly right with God. You've heard the cross connects people horizontally and vertically. And so these two commands that we're transitioning from here, remembering the Sabbath and honoring your parents, they serve as this bridge between lives of worship to practical living. In fact, God connects it in Leviticus chapter 13 and says, each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe the Sabbaths. Jesus did something similar when he summarized the commandments in response to a question by the religious teachers of the law and said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's interesting, though, when we look at the command here, it's only one of the two positively stated commands. All the others, except remembering the Sabbath, are thou shalt nots. And where it is in this list suggests that the home, should be our source for morality, for values, for our ethics. Because if we can't show compassion, if we can't show respect to our siblings, to our parents, it's going to be really hard, difficult to make that transition to show that type of respect to others. If you don't show honor and obedience and respect within the confines of the home, most likely you're not going to show honor and obedience and respect in school or in the workplace. So Russell likes to quote a guy by the name of Tim Keller. And so in an effort to do a shout out to him, I feel like I had to find a quote from Mr. Keller. And here it is. It says, it's respect for parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority. Basically, if we can't honor the mother and father that we can see with our eyes, how are we going to be able to honor a God that we can't see? And again, if we can't understand honor and obedience and respect within the home, most likely we're not going to be able to translate it outside the confines of the home. So what does it mean to honor? What does it mean to honor? Well, originally, way back when, it meant to be heavy, to give weight. So give your parents weight, not just to your mom before you're born, but give your parents' authority weight. Give their opinion weight. Show them that they're valued. Show them that they're trusted. Because you don't obey your parents when you agree. You don't obey your parents just because you agree, excuse me. And you don't obey your parents just because. You obey your parents because it pleases the Lord. Now we see Jesus in Luke chapter 2. After he's been missing for 3 days, his parents find him in the temple talking to the teachers of the law. You read then after that, though, that he returns to Nazareth and is obedient to his parents. The Son of God, obedient to earthly parents. And one of the last things that you see Jesus do, when he's on the cross, is he makes sure that his mom's cared for after he's gone. And Paul reiterates this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, and says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Not because your parents are always right. We're not, are we, Ron? But this is right. And I had to break it to Harris the other day that I'm not always perfect. And it may come to my shock to my parents, maybe watching this, but he somewhat argued with me on that, but parents aren't. But it's because children naturally want to honor their parents. When they're growing up, to some extent, children want to emulate their parents, to grow up to be like them, to idolize them to some extent. They starve for their parents' attention and affection. That's why you always hear, "Watch me," or "Watch this." They want affirmation and respect. And for a while, the only thing that really matters to kids is what their parents think of them. But this changes as kids turn into young adults. Their opinions about their parents change. And they recognize that their parents aren't perfect, possibly even hypocritical at times. Or maybe the young child isn't taught respect. And so they begin disrespecting their parents. As a kid that we saw in the airport the other day who was running here and there all over the place, when the mom tried to corral him, he literally said, "Don't touch me. Get away from me." We kind of kept ourselves. I didn't want to intervene in that situation. But this is when God comes in with this command. And he says, don't get so removed from your parents. Don't go get so disillusioned with your parents that you stop giving them a weighty importance in your life. Don't stop caring for them. Don't stop showing them deference. Always speak highly of them and show them respect. And I admit, this is very difficult for those who don't have godly parents. But there's no exception clause here. As much as I work with contracts and deal with legal terms and everything, there's no exception clause, and we have to honor our parents. Excuse me. In Ephesians 6, if you continue reading this, you'll see that Paul links obedience with long life in this world. Now, originally, this was told to Israelites right before they went into the land of Canaan. But you're going to live long in the land that God's promised you. Paul connects it to long life in this world. Now, you guys might think that your parents are strict. But if you look back through Leviticus, and it's tough to get through, but if you look in there, you'll find that they will actually take disobedient children outside the city and stone them to death. Yeah, parents aren't as strict now, are they? And so literally, there was a connection between obedience and long life. Because if you were not obedient, you did not live long. But Paul does the same thing. And when you think about it, think about your parents' first rules. Don't touch that. It's hot. Don't eat that. Wash your hands. You can get sick. Look both ways before you cross the street. You might get hit by a car. And in some sense, there's a literal connection between obedience and long life on this earth. But advice, directions become more obscure, more complicated as you get a little older. So that you hear, "Don't stay out too late." My parents would say, "Nothing good happens after midnight." Some of you heard the same thing. They might say, "Watch out who you choose as your friends." Well, bad company corrupts good morals. They say, "Choose wisely who you date and who you marry." But obedience is just one way, just one of so many ways that we can honor our parents. So I think of the youth that compliment their parents. It could be something simple. Just, that was a great dinner. Or who show appreciation for the sacrifices that their parents make when parents leave work or set things aside to attend all the games, all the rallies, all the band competitions. Showing appreciation for that. Or maybe those who say something more than, "I'm fine," or "it was fine," when asked how the day went. Or possibly those youth that intentionally do those things that their parents want to do, rather than always expecting your parents to do the things you want. So many ways to honor your parents. Those are just a few that I think of. So now to the rest of you here, though. I wake you from your slumber, from your rest. You remember back in Ephesians 6 here, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So not only does this mean that children have a responsibility to obey, but parents have a responsibility to teach obedience. And this was one of the most important jobs and very much expected during Israel. In Deuteronomy, it says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your homes and on your gates." You see, the responsibilities just aren't to the children, but they're to the parents as well. In addition, there's no time frame connected to this command. And so if you still have parents living, there's this role reversal that tends to take place. And Jesus even reiterated this command and applied it to adults when he was confronted with some of the most religious people of his day, when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law basically asked Jesus, "Why don't you obey our traditions?" And Jesus basically responds, "Why don't you obey the laws of God?" And you can see what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 15. It says, "For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares what might have been used to help their father and mother is devoted to God, they're not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition." So although the Pharisees and the teachers of the law outwardly agreed with this command, they found a loophole and tried to skirt around it. Because there was a Jewish tradition. And this Jewish tradition said that if you had money, things set aside to take care of your parents when they were a little older, you could then take those things and declare it Corban, or "This stuff is now dedicated to God. So I can't use it to take care of my parents anymore because it's now dedicated to God." And what they were doing sounded religious because I'm giving stuff to God rather than my parents. They were playing this spiritual trump card to look religious. And Jesus calls them out on it, condemns them, calls them hypocrites. And I read that story, and I wonder how often we as adults use good excuses not to do something for our parents. Similarly, Timothy talks about our relationship with others in society and our relationship with other believers, and then speaks directly to the family, and he says, "Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for those in their own household," really strong words, "they've denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Both Jesus and Timothy make providing for one's family a spiritual issue. So how do you honor your parents when you're no longer under their roof? I think of my mom. And I remember seeing her use a moistened sponge to dampen the lips of my grandmother as she laid in bed dying of cancer. I think of my dad, who spends more time working on his parents' ranch than on his own farm, to the point that he has to hire someone to work on his own farm so that he can go work on his parents' ranch. And he's done this for years, take vacation time out of work to go work on his parents' place rather than getting stuff done around his own house. Or again, my dad, who for years spent Sunday afternoon as a time to call his mom, my grandmother, just to check on her every Sunday afternoon. I think of my mother-in-law, who has provided for her stepdad and continues to provide for her stepdad even after her mom, Shannon's grandmother, has passed away. Continues to pay for bills, continues to make sure that he has his doctor appointments, that he has transportation to and from the doctor's appointments, does his taxes, and does all these things without complaining. I think of many of you who I know that have given sacrificially to your parents. Some that don't live where they want just so that they can be closer to their parents to take care of them. Some who constantly give to their parents, inviting them to join them on vacations, trips, and constantly sacrificially give to their parents. Because that's what God calls us to do. We tend to honor people that we think deserve it. Athletes, we give awards to. Prominent people, we give plaques to. But God says that we're to honor our parents, not because of things that they've done, but because of who they are. He asks us to set ourselves aside to honor parents, not because they've earned it, because they may not have. And to be candid, I realize some parents are not godly parents. And some of you were raised in abusive homes, maybe emotionally or physically. Some parents are addicted to things. Others are just so self-absorbed that they neglect their children. And so to those of you who may not have parents that deserve honor, what a powerful way to show honor and to honor God through forgiveness. Not forgetting, and certainly not condoning, but forgiving. And it might be that forgiving that brings about the repentance that they need. Jesus says that we're to love our enemies. And sadly, some of our parents may fall into that category. But just like we're to honor our earthly parents because of who they are, we honor God for the same reason. Not because of the things that He's done, but because of who He is. And we honor Him through our obedience. We honor Him by showing Him our appreciation. We honor Him by spending time with Him and by doing the things that He thinks is important. Not just the things that we want to do. Because it's what we're called to do as His children. And we honor Him when we honor our parents with that command. If you don't feel like you've honored your parents, or if you feel like you're a parent that hasn't done what they need to do to deserve honor, our shepherds are an incredibly prayerful group of people, as are many in this congregation. We're going to sing a song. I ask that you make yourself known as we stand and sing.